sabotage Sabbath. How many remember that? Some of you that were here. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, God came to the garden, and he was looking for Adam and Eve so he could abide with them. He came to dwell with them. He came to have fellowship with them. Where are you? Well, we hid ourselves because we were afraid. Well, why were you afraid? Well, because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? And that sort of stuff. You know the story there. But he came to abide. And you know, for however many long, however long days, weeks, months, years, however long, he was able to abide with them in the perfect place where there was no sin before Adam and Eve fell into sin. God created man to dwell with him. He wanted to abide with us. He wants to abide with us. And he modeled that for us in the garden. And so Shevet means to dwell and to abide. So in this sense, we find a deeper meaning in the Sabbath in that God desires to relate to us. And there's five ways that I want you, if you're taking notes tonight, to write down. There's five ways, and I'm going to go through this. It's not going to be long. There's five ways that God wants to relate to us. And the first one is this. As God's creation, we are to relate to him. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, God said he only created us, mankind, in his image. Again, I talked about that a couple of weeks ago in our service. And it's just so cool how the Lord overlays so many different things. And we obviously need to hear this again tonight because I wasn't really expecting to share this again tonight, but the Lord obviously wants somebody in here to hear this. God did this so we could relate to him as he was created, as we were created in his image. He wanted us to relate to him and authentically for us then at the same time to represent him to the world. So we are made in God's image. We know that, right? God could have made us in whatever image he wanted to, but he made us in his image. Think about that for just a moment. God created you. Look around at some other people. You're looking at me. Look around at other people and see that God created those people that you're looking around, as well as me, in his image. Are you looking around right now and seeing another creature of some sort, an unusual-looking creation? Now, don't answer that. That's mean, okay? But there's not a walrus or an antelope or a shark or a giraffe in here, right? You're looking at other people that are human beings that were created in the image of God. And that's the beautiful thing about what he's done for us is that he could have made us to be a walrus or some other sort of thing like that, you know, that had nothing to do with the image of God. But he made you and I in his image so that we could relate to him. That's a beautiful thing that he comes to us and we come to him. And there's that instant connection because we are like him. We look like him. You look around, you're looking at me. This is what God looks like. He has fingers and toes and eyes and a mouth and, you know, all of this. And that's how he looks. You look around, that's how God looks, only certainly much more glorious and much more perfect than how we are. But we're created in his image, and it's a beautiful thing. So as that's the case, and again, going back to the Sabbath and why he wants us to relate to him in that way, he also then wants us to then authentically relate and represent him to the world. There's people out there that are right now at this very moment being murdered, being beat up, being hateful to someone else, doing all sorts of things that are just ugly and awful and hurtful to themselves and to others. That is not God. But the world is looking for an authentic representation of him, and we can be that, not only in how we look, but in how we act and how we interact with others. And so as we relate to him, we can then authentically represent and relate to others. You see so many people trying to dress up like someone. You know, some people like trying to act like someone. They're trying to be like someone that's famous. I just saw, I don't know, months ago, this lady who has had multiple surgeries so that she could look like a real-life Barbie doll. Anybody see that lady? And she scarily looks like her. But God bless her. Bless her heart. She wants to be so much like a Barbie doll that she doesn't even look real. And there's a lot of people out there trying to look like other people, act like other people, because they don't like who they are. But I want to just pass this on to you here tonight. In our Shabbat, over this next 24 hours, and every time we have a Shabbat, every week, let the first thing that you do, look at yourself in the mirror and say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am created in His image, and I like who I am, you know, because God has made me who I am. I'm not going to try to change this, but I'm going to work on the inside here. I'm going to take care of this. You know, I'm not going to just let it all go, but at the same time, I'm not going to try to do all this stuff like these people out there trying to act like and be like other people. My goal is to be like Christ and to be an authentic representation of that. And our Shabbat is to cause us to cease the other stuff that we're doing and recalibrate, reevaluate, bring us back in to say, wait a minute, I'm created in the image of God. And I'm going to be an authentic representation to Him. That's where my effort in life is going to be, is to be an extension of that and be a representation of that. So God breathed His life, His breath of life into us. Said that a couple of weeks ago. And He created only us in His image. And He wants us to find rest in that unique and special place in all of creation. There's nobody else made in God's image but you. And there's no one else made in God's image like you. You are unique in a beautiful way. And you are special in this place of creation. When we are at peace with this, we can be an authentic representation to others of His accepting and favored love He has for all of mankind. So that's the first thing. He wants us to relate to Him. Secondly, the second thing that God desires to do in this Shabbat is it's a remembrance of His redemption. In other words, we're redeemed for God. Yeah, we're redeemed by God, but we're also redeemed for God. Let me elaborate. Deuteronomy 5:15, God said this, "Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. The Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God demands that you observe the Sabbath." Now, has He redeemed you and I out of slavery? Anybody? What kind of slavery? The slavery of sin. As believers, we've been redeemed from the slavery and the curse of sin unto God through Christ Jesus. This is not just an escape of punishment. It's not hell insurance. But it's also to have reestablished a relationship with God. What happened in the garden again with Adam and Eve? That relationship was what? Broken because of sin, correct? So, another part of Shabbat is to get us to the place where we're reestablishing that relationship with Him. It gets us back to that walk with Him because our ultimate rest is found not in activities, not in the pursuit of things, but in our relationship in Christ, which allows us to enjoy peace and harmony again with God and then also with others. There's a saying that the Jews share with one another. They say, Shabbat Shalom. What do you think that means? Shabbat Shalom. Now, what does Shabbat mean? Cease or rest. So cease work. So in that sense, you're going to rest. So if Shabbat means rest, what does Shalom mean? So it means peaceful rest. They say to one another, Shabbat Shalom, which means peaceful rest. I want you to turn to several people and say it very authentically, mean what you say, but turn to several people and express to them this blessing of Shabbat Shalom. Say that to others. Yeah. You guys are expressing and blessing one another, and I love it. It turns into laughter. I love how that is. Shabbat Shalom. You're blessing one another with peaceful rest. You're turn to someone and just one person and say, may you have peaceful rest. Now, doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound good? How many has had peaceful rest this week? Anybody? A few of you. How many has had the opposite of peaceful rest this week? Yeah, there's been all kinds of it's the opposite. It's stressful anxiety. How many had a week of stressful anxiety? Yeah. Josiah's had stressful anxiety this week. Okay. He's like, over here, it's been so stressful all week long. Four-year-old kid. Okay, so that's the second thing. It's all downhill from here, buddy. Sorry. So Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Shabbat Shalom to you. And thirdly, the way that God wants us to spend our Shabbat, our weekly time of reflection, is this, that we are to find our rest in Him. Apart from Him, we create our own gods and strive for things and positions and relationships for our security. But there's no lasting rest in these things. They just can't measure up to the complete and perfect rest that we find in Christ. We won't find rest in our finished works, only in Christ. As His finished work, can we truly find rest. So He wants us to cease our striving and our labor for things and positions and other pursuits that will not satisfy. We find our Sabbath in Christ. So the difference between the second one and the third one is this. We have peaceful rest, but where do we find that peaceful rest? In whom do we place our rest? It's in who? It's in who? It's in Christ. So yeah, we can have peaceful rest. Throw a PM Tylenol down your belly and have peaceful rest, right? But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about peaceful rest that's found only in Christ. We can strive all day long, all week long, and try to pursue things. You will not find your rest in that. That Shabbat that we started in a couple of hours ago is that we find our rest in Him. It's like falling back. You ever remember that Nesty, take the Nesty plunge? That commercial? We fall back into the pool and just take that splash. We're finding our rest, and we're falling back in Him. And our rest is in Him. And that's the third thing that He wants us to reflect on. Fourth, the fourth thing that Shabbat provides for us, if we'll take advantage of it, is that we are sanctified in Him. Who wants to tell me what sanctified means? Set apart. That's correct. Sanctified means set apart. So in other words, we are set apart in Him. Now be careful you write the word in Him, not for Him. We are sanctified in Him. We are sanctified in Him. Sabbath or Shabbat reorients our lives back to God, and it reprioritizes our relationship with Him. Exodus 31, verse 13 says, "You shall surely observe My Sabbaths, for this is a sign between you and Me throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." In other words, set you apart. Are you getting that? Did you get that? I want you to listen to that again. Don't let the scripture go, "Oh, that's a verse of scripture, so I'm not going to listen to that." Listen, this is our foundation right here. I'm going to say it again. You shall surely observe My Sabbath. You shall observe My Sabbath, for this is a sign between you and Me, He says. And again, this is not a Jewish thing. This is a believer thing. This is a relationship with God thing, okay? That's getting back to it. This is not just a Jewish observation. It is a Christian observation. It's a relationship between you and God Almighty through Jesus Christ. You shall surely observe My Shabbat, for this is a sign between you and Me for how long? Throughout how long? Throughout your generations. In other words, continually. Are we still part of the you guys are part of a generation, aren't you? You got another generation coming after you, and it will continue and for all of eternity. It's a continual thing of resting in Him, that you may know that I am your Lord who set you apart, who sanctifies you. So part of the Shabbat is a relationship that we have with Him that reminds us that He is the one that is sanctifying us. He is the one that is setting us apart. He is the one that wants us to be exclusively His. If you guys have you, look at your wedding ring, some of you who are wearing them. Look at your wedding ring right now. Just look it on your finger and keep looking at that for just a second while I'll talk about it. If you don't have a wedding ring and you're getting ready to, or you don't have one because you're too young, look at the one that's sitting next to you, your parents or whoever it might be sitting next to. I want you to look at that wedding ring for just a minute. Because whether you have one or not in the physical, you have one in the spiritual. The wedding ring that you're wearing right now reminds you that you are set apart to your spouse. While you're driving down the road, while you're working, while you're doing a housework, whenever it is that you're doing whatever you're doing, you look at your ring, and that can only mean one thing. I am set apart to my beloved. And my beloved also has one who is also set apart to me. It's an exclusive relationship that I have with my wife. This ring right here is it tells me that I have an exclusive relationship with my wife alone. And she has the same thing on her finger that reminds her of an exclusive relationship with me. Sabbath, in that sense, is a reminder to us of the sanctifying relationship that we have with God. He has placed, you're the bride of Christ, and he's placed a wedding ring on your finger. And you have an exclusive relationship with him, and he with you. That relationship that we have with God that is a holy relationship. It's a set apart, sanctified relationship for his purposes and for his glory. We're sometimes called saints of God. Back in the day, how many remembers being called a saint of God? That, you don't hear that much, brothers and sisters and saints of God, but that's what we are. Seems kind of an old-fashioned phrase, but I'll bring it up again tonight because it's so relevant to where we are, and we are saints of God, whether we say it to one another or not. You are a saint of God. As a believer, as a set-apart person, you know what saint means? Set-apart one. Because it's the derivative of sanctified. It's just shortened saint. You are a set-apart one. You are a set-apart one of God. You are a saint of God. Set apart to this degree, and so listen to this part. So to the degree that we as saints of God set our lives apart to God, to that degree, we're demonstrating how much we value our relationship with the Lord. So have you set your life apart? Are you reminded by the Holy Spirit of that ring that you have on your finger, that you are the bride of Christ? Are you exclusively and mutually in relationship with Jesus Christ, with God through Jesus Christ? And are you allowing him to sanctify you, to set you apart more and more? I think that there's a level and a degree of that that we have in our lives. Some of us are more and some of us are less set apart based on this definition. So part of Shabbat is to cause us to reflect, what areas of my life am I not mutually exclusively dedicated and sanctified to my Heavenly Father? And then we reflect on it and say, wait a minute, I need to give this up because this is coming between me and my Father. You know? Very important for us to look at that. And that's what Shabbat does for us. Sabbath is a constant reminder that in. Fifth thing. Almost there. This is the last one. Shabbat causes us, if we'll do it, to reflect on our eternity is in him. Our eternity is in him. Aren't you glad that one day Jesus is coming back? Aren't you glad that one day God is going to make everything right again? Aren't you glad that one day we're going to spend eternity in heaven in a place that he has prepared for us? Shabbat is a reminder to us of that. Exodus 31:17 says this, Sabbath or Shabbat is a sign between me and the sons of Israel eternally. It never will cease. It's a reminder to us that Sabbath is an eternal sign pointing us to our eventual rest for all of eternity in his new creation. And this is what he says in Micah 4:4 about it. He says, every man will sit under his vine and beneath his fig tree, and none will be afraid of them. And none of them will be afraid. So in eternity, everyone's going to get a vine and a fig tree. Can't you wait? No. That simply means that we're going to get our space and enjoy where no one's going to come and steal your vine or fig tree. You're going to get a place of rest in him for all of eternity. And there's not going to be any of them that are going to be afraid. You're not going to live in fear. I'm sure most of you locked your doors before you left the house tonight to get here. Many of you probably locked your doors to your car before you walked in. You know, we're going to set the alarm when we leave here tonight because, you know, people could break in. And there's always that fear of things happening. Oh, I better lock this down and keep it in my safe deposit box and put it in a safe place where no one will find it. You won't have to worry about any of that in heaven. Every man's going to sit under his vine and beneath his fig tree, and there will none of them be afraid. We're going to live in a place of rest and perfect peace for all of eternity. And Shabbat helps us to reflect on that. So Sabbath is realized in Christ. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Now you guys know this verse, But in light of what we're talking about here tonight, I hope that it takes on a fresh meaning to you. It says, come unto me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I will give you Shabbat. I will give you Sabbath. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Shabbat for your souls. When he said that, that's what he was talking about. Shabbat, Sabbath, is a way of us reflecting that in Christ, he's the one that spoke it out and said, I am your Sabbath rest. I am your Shabbat. I am your place of peace. Come to me. You're weary, heavy laden. Romans 5:1 says, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace. Shabbat. Ceasing of labor. Peaceful rest. It's found in Jesus. So, with that said, Sabbath or Shabbat exists for us to relate to God, number one, as his beloved creation. Number two, it's a reminder of our redemption to him through Christ Jesus, of our rest and satisfaction in him instead of worldly pursuits. Number three. Number four, it's of our sanctification, actually being set apart in relationship for him alone. And finally, number five, for all of eternity, where we will experience our ultimate forever rest in him, in his new and perfect creation. I long for that day. Amen? How about you? But until then, we don't have to just look to that day and say, oh, one day, I'm going to be in peace with him. You can experience that right now. You can experience that today. He desires for you and has given provision for you to enjoy that peace in your Shabbat, in your Sabbath. Sabbath reminds us of not only what we're living for now, but also who we are living to be with forever. It's a relationship of rest in him and with him, with Christ, the Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we can either allow him to be that or not. And so as we reflect on those five things that Sabbath or Shabbat represents, then we can find that place of peace in him. And that's my prayer and encouragement and my desire for each one in this place tonight. So I want to encourage you to do this. And you may have already made plans, I don't know. But I want you to take a restful approach to the next 24 hours and find some time to rest in Christ and with Christ between now and the time we meet tomorrow at 6 p.m. And you may have already had plans. So let me just say this. The Pharisees legalized Sabbath to the point where it became something completely opposite of what God intended it to be. So this is not a place of bondage. This is not instruction for you to just cancel all of your plans and sit there and do nothing for 24 hours. That's not what he's talking about. Going back to what we just shared, whatever it is that you do, make sure that it's a place that you reflect on God through Christ, how he is your rest. Now, you can go out and go to play golf, and that can be a place of restful reflection as long as you don't go, oh, I missed that shot again, and something that red, right? But find a place of rest in the peaceful, restful activities that you do, things that refresh you. But also make sure that it's something that pleases God. You don't want to go to a bar somewhere, you know, or some honky-tonk that's, you know, not pleasing to God. So I know some of you right now are deleting that off of your calendar as I'm speaking, so praise God. But make sure that whatever activity that you do is pleasing to God, right? In other words, would Jesus go with you there? Because he never leaves you or forsakes you. So he's going with you wherever you go and doing whatever you do. And you don't want to make him, just Jesus, stay out here for just a minute. I'll be right back in about an hour. No, no. He's going with you. So find a place of rest in him in whatever activity it is. It could be sitting and enjoying time with family. That's wonderful. It could be doing yard work or working in your tool shed in the back. Or it could, ladies, you could be sewing and cooking a meal or, you know, whatever you want to do. But just make sure it's not stressful. But in all that you do, reflect on the Sabbath, on the Shabbat, and let me encourage you to find your rest in him, not just in the next 24 hours, but let this be a practice for what we do and find your Sabbath. Now, Sabbath is for the Jews on a Saturday. It's the seventh day. We kind of changed things around about 300 A.D., the Catholic Church did, and made an official proclamation that the rest of the world has followed since then, that we have our Sabbath, our worship, on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Well, I'm not going to change anything. I can't certainly make an edict here tonight saying, well, we're going to change that, and we're starting on Saturday, and the rest of the world's going to follow us. You know what? We're going to work on the culture that we have. But find a place through the week, and don't fill up your days with Facebook and texting and video games and stuff that your phone's just crying out to you saying, show me the attention that I deserve. You deserve nothing today, you know? I'm going to reflect and spend time with the Lord. So try that for the next 24 hours. I bet you that that's going to be difficult for some of us, me included, because we're going to go, oh, man, I'm really filling up my day with a bunch of stuff. And I hope that by 6 o'clock tomorrow, you will have spent some time reflecting and refreshing in and through Jesus Christ. So with that said, I'm going to close this out tonight by saying that tomorrow night, I want us to look at the 7 God-appointed feasts in the Bible that are found in Leviticus chapter 23. If part of what you want to do between now and tomorrow night at 6 o'clock is read Leviticus chapter 23, it'll tell you all the 7 feasts, and they're listed right there, that are God-appointed feasts, not just for the Jews, but for his people. And since they're God-appointed, that means that we can enjoy them as well. So we're not going to just look tomorrow night at what they mean historically to the people of Israel. But one of the things that I'm really excited about is how they also simultaneously are prophetically to the Church of Jesus Christ, of which you and I are part, and God's ultimate plan of salvation for mankind. It is so exciting what I've discovered in God's Word about this, and I cannot wait to share it with you tomorrow night along with the liver mush that we're going to eat. I mean, whatever it is that's on the menu. The beautiful thing about God is that he's precise. God is economical. God wastes nothing. He always seems to have a multiple meanings and fulfillments in his ways of saying and doing and being. And that's what we're going to see tomorrow night, because it's never more apparent than it is in these 7 feasts that we're going to look at. I promise you, it's going to blow your mind. Please don't miss it. And you see we have extra seats here. You're welcome to invite some folks. We have plenty of food. All right? All right. So, Shabbat Shalom. Shalom. Shabbat Shalom tonight. Be at peace with your Maker and have peaceful rest. By the way, if you enjoyed the food tonight, we have no budget for this. If you want to pull out some money and put it in those plastic dishes that are, some of you are wondering, are we going to be washing feet tonight? Someone asked me that. I said, no, we're going to be putting in Benjamin Franklin's and stuff. So if you want to give an offering tonight, feel free. If you want to write out a check, make it out to Faith Assembly, and that'll help to defer the expenses of the meal tonight. You don't have to. It's just an opportunity for you to be a blessing, okay? Let's bow our heads in prayer as I pray peace over you tonight. Father God, we thank you tonight for our Shabbat, for our Sabbath time of rest that you have blessed us with as a gift once a week, one day a week. Now, Father, in our culture, we've been trained that busier is better and more is better, and we fill up all of our empty spots with activities, and we just fall into bed and just get worn out throughout the day, and that's not your plan. So, Father, help us in this Shabbat that started a couple hours ago. We started as your people did with a meal, just like they do or are doing right now in certain parts of the world. We did that here just a couple of hours ago with a meal. And now, Lord, you're causing us to now do as you've called your people to do, which we are your people, and that's to reflect on what this Shabbat is all about. So help us in these 5 areas to reflect on not only how we can find our peace in you, how we can find our satisfaction in you, how you want to set us apart and sanctify us for you and you alone, and then how we can meditate and also dwell on the beautiful aspect of eternity, that we were made special like no other creation. So as we abide in you, we can also then be a reflection to you of others, a reflection to others of you. Help us to reflect on these things, these five things over the next 24 hours. And then we'll come back here again at the breaking of this 24-hour celebration at 6 o'clock tomorrow night with another wonderful meal, another time of worshiping you, and another time of understanding what your word says, not only about the historical aspects of the feast, but the prophetic aspects as it speaks to us and God, your plan of salvation. So excited to be able to hear about it. And thank you, God, for your perfection and your beauty and your love for us. Thank you, God, for giving us your son, Jesus. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for this time of peace. I pray Shabbat Shalom over this congregation as we're dismissed tonight. And I pray this, Jesus, in your name. And everybody said amen.